First Peter chapter 2, begin reading with the 18th verse. First Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do it well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. We praise you that we can come and open your word. We thank you for the opportunity to share the truth, that folks are listening. And we just ask, dear Lord, that it allows your spirit to come and work in their hearts and work in their lives and change them and make them more like you, dear Lord. Please, that their sins will be taken away, that they'll begin to have a heart that is soft, a heart that is humble, a heart that is kind, a heart that is considerate. Please, dear Lord, that we would have a testimony and a witness of you, dear Lord, in our hearts and in our lives. So please help us today as we look to your word, that you will guide and lead us through it. You'll bring the lost and to the saving knowledge, show them their sin and bring them to you. And then the life begins, real life begins, each and every day that we live, serving you, praising you, and honoring you. And please guide and lead us, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look at these scripture verses as we continue to come down through them. And the last section here, while we have been looking at honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We look at the 18th verse here. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. It's awful easy for us to continually condemn and criticize our boss. He's making too much money. He's making all the money. We're not making any of it. The work's too hard. How come I have to do all the work? All the things that we hear all the time. And I guarantee you there is not a perfect workplace out there. And you say, well, if I was my own boss, well, if you have a business, then you have 100 bosses or 300 bosses, however many customers that you have. And so, my friend, we live in a world that's not fair, a world that they would rather cheat and lie than treat us properly. But that still does not give us the right to not hold them in a proper place of respect. And so we need to do that, and that gives honor to God. And so that's the thing we need to remember. And when things aren't going right, we give honor to God. You know, and servants here could be ones that are paid for their services. It could be ones that are bought, and it could be one that they traded for. And so when you look at a servant at this time in Peter's day, is a little different now. And yet still, when we have folks that we work for, and we need to give them an honest day's work, no matter whether everybody around you is cheating the time clock, or they're taking an extra time for break, or whatever they might do, see that we don't do that as believers in Jesus Christ. Let's give a testimony of our God that's in our heart when we work each day. So please. Word forward here at the end is even if they're obstinate, unreasonable, stubborn, you know, you can't hardly put up with them. And it doesn't matter, my friend. God will give you the strength to walk each day and to give the testimony we need to have. And it doesn't just need to be here at church. It doesn't just need to be at your home. It needs to be every place that you go. Places that you visit, whether it's the grocery store or whether it's the workplace, whatever it is, we need to be a witness and testify of our Lord in our life. Now we look at this 19th verse here. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, if ye should take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You know, we have much to learn here to be a Christian, to walk the way we should walk and to be who we should be in Christ. And it is totally contrary to the world. And so when we're listening to the world and paying attention to the world, well, we begin to act like the world. We talk like the world. We do things like the world. And if we're to be as Christ, then we need to go and listen to our Lord. We need to spend time in prayer with Him. We need to be spending time in study over His precious Word. We need to be spending time with other believers and come together as a family. Because, my friend, we all need the strength and the power of God. And there is a strength and power that comes when we come together. And so we've come together now as a family. We should be one in Christ, because if you're born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within your heart. And so that Spirit is going to guide you in exactly the same direction for whatever service He has called you, whatever gifts He has given you. It's time to be busy at serving and praising and honoring our God. And so we need to be doing that each and every day. And so in the process of growing and learning what is pleasing unto the Lord, and here's a point. If we do something wrong, if I gamble all my money away, and all of a sudden now I have no money. I have nothing to pay for my house, to pay the electric bill. I don't have any money for food. I have nothing because I thought that I could take my $100 and turn it into $10,000. I just knew that this deal was a good deal, and we could win, you know, the lottery or whatever. You go into all these fast stops and places like that. Why, you know, there's two lines. The longer line is always at the place where they're buying all their lottery tickets. And some people spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and they, you know, claim that all, you know, look at all I win. My friend, let's get out and let's get to work. We're not to be doing that. We know that. But if a person loses their money doing that, and then they come back, well, whatever the consequences, that's what you deserve. If you lose your house, if you lose your business, if you lose everything because you've done something foolish like that, then so be it, because that's the way it is. And you can come crying to mom and dad or crying to your banker or whoever you want to, but it's not going to make any difference or shouldn't make any difference, because whatever mistakes you made, we have to pay for. Well, that's a simple principle. It's a true principle. It's a principle that today we stand behind. But there's another principle here that we need to walk with, and it's much different, because how about if something happened and it was not your fault? And how about when you're serving the Lord, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're taking the gift or gifts that God has given you, and you're out there serving and praising God and lifting God up, and yet here comes all this trouble. Here comes all this trouble. Well, the liberals and some of your television preachers, they claim that your faith isn't strong enough when the trouble comes. But my friend, this scripture verse here tells us that we are going to have trouble. As a believer, we are going to have trouble. We serve the Lord, you're going to have trouble. Now, why, when we know our God and we serve our God, why should we have trouble? It's because of the world that we live in. It's because this world hates God. This world hates anything that stands for God. This world hates anyone that stands with God. And so if we live and abide in a world of that character, why do we expect things are going to go smooth when we are the peculiar people and we are standing out, serving Him, praising Him, doing things right when everybody else is doing it their own way? People are making fun of us, people criticize us, people condemn us, all these things for no cause. The Word of God tells us that you stay quiet and you let the Lord take over. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I guarantee you, He will even the score. The Lord's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. It is so important that we look to the Word of God for strength and for power, and understand that problems and heartaches are going to come. I have three different areas of Scripture we're going to read this morning, and I want to go to Matthew first, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at some words that our Lord has given us in instruction. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Look at what is pleasing to God. We need to understand that what pleases our God is what we should be doing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and ye shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're keeping pretty good company when we get criticized and condemned for the Lord's sake. See, it is the Lord's sake. See, it's not something that we've brought on ourselves, because that's something you just have to deal with, and we do. So don't use, say, boy, I'm being persecuted. See that it's true. See that what you're doing and the testimony that you're giving is something that's pleasing to the Lord. And then expect persecution. Expect separation. You know, we don't like to think about that. You know, that article that I just touched on in the sword there, being unequally yoked. You know, we sometimes love a lot of the things of this world and the people of this world, and we associate with them. We're around them. Now, we make a choice. We make a choice. But if you want real joy and real peace and real strength and real power and real fellowship with your God, you'll separate yourself from them. If they do not want Christ and deny Christ and don't want anything to do with it, then you move yourself from them. It's just like being yoked with someone. You just make that decision and let the Lord take care of you. He will bless you. And prepare for the persecution. Prepare for what's to come, because it will. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, as we look at these words of Scripture here, again, things for us to learn and to understand, that the persecution's coming. The Lord will bless those that face that persecution and depend upon the Lord. We find in these verses of Scripture that the Beatitudes is listed here in this section of Luke. Everything is different. We like people to like us, and we bend to their liking, so they like us. Many times we refuse to stand for Christ and stand separated because that's not the likable thing to do. Other things that are common to man is that if you show love to me, then I'll show love to you. When you do something that's good, I want something good shown back to me. Now that's the world. That's the world. You wonder why you're getting along with the world? It's because you're probably playing the same game. They love you, you love them, they love you back. If they stop loving you back, then forget you. That's what the world does. But you see, God tells us that we're to care for those that aren't careable. We need to love those that aren't lovable. We need to do things for those that know they can never do something back for us. That's where this love of Christ comes. So you see, as we kind of look at things that are thankworthy back here in this 19th and 20th verse, we see a lot of things in our life that needs to change. We need to do things because the love of God's in our heart. We need to separate ourselves from people that hate God or desire not to serve God, deny the gospel of God. We may have to work with them. We don't have to be around them. We need to be understanding that because of that, suffering will come. You know, if someone tells you, well, you must not be saved because look at all the trouble you're having. Well, my friend, that trouble comes because you're trying to serve God and the world hates it. The world hates it. And it may be somebody very close to you that keeps you away from the Word of God, out of the house of God. All kinds of things take place. All kinds of criticism comes many times from the lost. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, that condemnation and criticism will come. Let's see that we face it. Let's see that we're strong. Let's see that we praise our God with it. And let's see that we don't join in with them. Let's see that we don't play the same games that the world plays. Let's see that we're different. God calls it here in 1 Peter. Peter tells us through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that, you know, if something happens and it's your fault, yes, you pay the price. What happens if it's not your fault? They still condemn you. They still criticize you. What do you do then? God says it's of value. So, my friend, I want you to praise God. I need to praise God, not bite back when those times come. One more verse of Scripture. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the 16th verse. Once again, these are things that the grace of God gives us strength to do. The grace of God allows us this. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you will have the strength to be this way. Until then, you can't. You're just going to act like the world. And if we continue to act like the world, we know where our strength is coming from, don't we? We know where our power is coming from. It's coming from the world. when we begin to change. And that change is a lifelong, lifetime venture. When we begin to change, the Lord will begin to bless us and show us. Verse 16, Romans chapter 12, be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We try to match evil for evil. We try to get ahead. We try to get equal to them. We want them to pay for what they have done to us. And my friend, there are times, it says up here, I love this 18th verse, if it be possible, so much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I think God knew it's impossible to live peaceably with all men. But whatever, boy, dig down deep and try your best to do just that. Because this old world is an ugly world to live in. And many times it just seems impossible to live peaceably with such wicked people. And my friend, God tells us to be strong and to walk each day in Him and with Him. Now let's come back and let's look back to the 19th verse. And the reason we have taken so much time to look at these other verses is because as we look at this verses of Scripture, thank worthy, it's the grace, what is acceptable unto the Lord. If a man for conscience towards God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. This consciousness, you know, are we conscious of the will of God? Are we conscious of His power and of His strength? Because when this time comes, when this battle arrives, when the world fights us and comes against us and criticizes us and condemns us, are we strong enough in the Lord that we can go right into His presence and says, Lord, thank you. Thank you that they hate me because I stand with you. And again, a verse of Scripture we read at the very beginning there, the prophets, you know, they condemned, they murdered the prophets. Why do you think that we should stand here and be in this same world, in this same life, in such a corrupt world, a world that desires to take God's existence and presence out of all of it, that they hate the plan of salvation, they hate the gospel, they hate the God that gave us the opportunity of salvation? Why should we as believers think we'll have peace here? Well, God will give you peace, and God will give you comfort, but only when we come to Him and surrender to Him and follow after Him. We need to understand that these griefs are going to come. We need to understand that it's going to be part of our life, this pain, whether it's bodily or in our mind, whatever it is, there's going to be grief that's going to come. So just be ready for it. Know it's coming. Stand for Jesus Christ. If you think you're going to have to stand alone because you've made some decisions, then so be it. Stand alone. My friend, most of the time, you don't have to stand alone. There's a brother or sister in the Lord to pick you up. A brother and sister in the Lord wants to pray for you. But it's decisions that we need to make to serve Him and to pray for Him. And it speaks of this, in the 20th verse, this buffeting. You know, that it's not just a little slap in the face. If you were my servant, and I gave you a command and you didn't do it. Most masters would take their fist, and however many times that they wanted to hit you, they could hit you. And you had to stand there and take it because you were their slave. And so you stood there peaceably because you knew that you disobeyed a command. You stand and do that. Now, when we stand with our Lord and they lie about us and they don't tell the truth and it hurts and we want to rebel back, we can't, or we shouldn't. We should be turning to our Lord and asking Him for His strength. If we come back with the same old thing that the world does in trying to get even, then we're no different than the world. Let's stand for our Lord. Do we think of that being fruit? When the Lord, when the world rebukes us, when they criticize our Lord, and we will stand up for Him. When they criticize and we have the strength to just walk away, knowing our Lord will even the score someday. That's pleasing to our God. This is acceptable with God, the end of verse 20 says. Verse 20, 21 through 25, we come quickly now to the example that our Lord has given us. He says, I'm not telling you to do something that I haven't done. And we know that there are verse after verse after verse of Scripture in the Gospels that talk about Him being condemned and criticized and beaten. And what did our Lord do? His mouth was closed. And He gives us the same power and the same strength. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. For even hereunto were ye called. This is not our home. We need to understand that. This is not our home. We try to make it our home. But the only way that we really make this our home is drag all the world into it. We worry about so many things here. We desire to have so many things. And yet this is not our home. Now, unless you're a part of some big company that wants you to transfer to another area, and they call you up and say, I want you to go to Dallas, Texas. And he says, well, you know, how am I going to get there? You know, oh, don't worry, we'll move you. And so they come into your house and they package everything and they take this big truck and they move you down. They unpack everything back into its place and you have nothing to do. And that's wonderful. But most of us don't have that opportunity. When we have to move for one reason or another, it's our responsibility to do the moving. And so if it's your responsibility to do the moving, what are you going to do? You're going to take the least amount that you have to take with you. You're going to leave everything back that you can possibly leave home, because I don't want to haul it down there and then haul it back. You see, we need to kind of live the same way as a believer, because we're traveling through. And when you travel, you know, you learn to travel. Used to be why we had four suitcases when we go up for 2 or 3 days at Rochester. Now we carry in one. We found out we don't need all those things. We enjoy the week in the Ozarks over the 4th, and we go down there. Why we don't take near as much as we used to take. We don't need to. Because you know what? It's a hassle. It's work to pack up and to travel. We're traveling through this life. How much extra baggage do we have? How many things are we holding on to that's holding us back and holding us to the world? Because we don't want to give them up. And so we kind of think this to be more our home than heaven. We love this place more than we love being face to face with our Lord. Well, my friend, our Lord suffered, and we'll cover the 21st through the 25th verse next time. We're out of time, as always. But I want you to think about that. I want you to read those verses of Scripture, because you'll see very clearly what our Lord has done for us. And if you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's in your heart, we have His strength. We have His power to withstand the abuses of the world. We have the power to not get connected with some of the things of this life. Enjoy it. But don't make it your God. We have so much to learn. The only place we can learn it is in God's Word. As John R. Rice took that dear lady and showed her the Scripture, unequally yoked, we have many verses of Scripture that show us our God, what He has done for us, and how He wants us to serve Him. So please, let's follow Him today. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You for these words, the Word that are written in Your book. We have looked at Matthew and Luke and Romans. We have enjoyed the study. At least I hope we have. I hope that it's given joy in our hearts, because the more we try to hold on to this life and love this life, the more discouraging it's going to be. The more difficult it's going to be. The more days of joy is going to be gone. Dear Father, this world's not going to bring any joy by itself. It's only You that can give it to us. So let us look to Your way and will and strength. Let's learn this little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept, that we may be stronger and closer to You. Thank You for Your saving grace, Your gospel. Thank You for the life that we have, dear Lord, in You. Now please speak to hearts today. Bring those that are lost that have never trusted in You, bring them today. Have them make a decision. Step out and come. Those, dear Father, that have held on to this world and says, okay, it's time that I let this world go and walk with You and serve You. Please, that take place today. Now guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.